Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
What was your first TV crush?
Hmm.
Even if it was later in life, because I don't know if you grew up watching TV.
No, I'm not fucking Amish. Go lick my nuts that I don't have.
That's fair. Your first lover party, you were 18 years old.
What if it was Bob Ross? Just kidding.
That's funny. No. That's cute.
No, it was not Bob Ross.
It was Bob Ross.
We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
I know who my first TV crush is. It was Mark Paul Gosselaar and...
Who?
Time out!
Sorry, she just gave me a look, everybody.
You guys, I said Mark hyphen Paul Gosselaar, and she just went, who?
Time in.
Who is that?
Zach Morris from Saved by the
Bell. Oh, yeah, I didn't really watch Saved by the Bell.
And A.C. Slater.
Isn't the theme song, isn't like, little, babo-doo-bee-dee-dee, Saved by the Bell.
How young are you? Were you born last week?
Oh, my God. They were in season 4 in 1993. I was 4 years old. What the fuck I look like watching a show about a dude named Screech? What do I look like?
I went back and watched older stuff. Like, I've seen fucking
Perry
Mason.
Oh, I watched Perry Mason. I had a grandma.
Okay, well, didn't you have...
My grandma wasn't fucking watching a show about some kid named Screech on Saved by the Bell. Like, she had some sort of respect. She wanted a procedural.
Objection, Your Honor. Incompetent, irrelevant, and immaterial.
You know
who's Elizabeth Jesse Spano? Who's that? Who is this?
Jesse.
Is it Spano?
Jesse Spano. Spano?
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can.
I'm so excited.
Is that her?
I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Bonjour, messieurs et madames et gender non-conforming individuels.
Ooh, croissant.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi, dear listeners?
So that's like all the French I know, and I took literally 7 years of French.
And croissant is all I know.
Anyway, I'm Jessica Williams, and I'm joined by my oh-so-lovely co-host. Can you guess who her name is?
It's me, Michelle Obama.
No, that's so funny. Anyway, I'm Jessica Williams, and I'm joined by my oh-so-lovely, oh-so-sweet co-host. Can you guess who it is?
It's me, Sasha and Malia Obama.
Yep, it's two people, Sasha and Malia Obama.
No, J.K. Simmons. It's me, Phoebe Robinson.
And we're here with a hot new show for you guys.
We've got John Hodgman. You got all these, like, homies from The Daily Show chopping in. I love it. It's
I'm
so
cool.
Cute.
John's so cool. He, like, is such a sweet guy with, like, his facial hair and his glasses.
I know.
And his, like, musical talent.
And we put him on the spot about Sex and the City, and he fucking...
He dragged us low-key.
He did.
He should have. That was tight.
But it was, like, cool that he had so many opinions about it, because I was not expecting that.
Yeah, it was really dope.
It was really cool. Plus, we've got Sonya Denny and John Roberts. You guys are really going to love this episode, so just buckle up, grab a Pop-Tart, and...
Ooh.
Right?
What's the flavor? I love... Brown sugar cinnamon.
I
or
was
strawberries.
Gonna say brown sugar.
It's good.
Oh,
it's the best one. That's like literally dessert.
Yeah. So get that all nice and warm. A little where you go.
Yeah, yeah.
When you take it out.
Yeah. When you break that pea tart apart and you hit that smell, when that smell hits your nose. Oh, eyes watering. Curl up.
Anyway, enjoy the show.
Welcome to Two Dope Queens! What have you been up to?
Well, I just joined Equinox Gym.
Congrats.
Which is crazy. Very fancy.
Yeah, y'all know we gotta, you know, we gotta try and goop it up. You know Okay, so what do you think about it so far?
Pros, they give you eucalyptus towels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that after a nice little like spin bike to just have that in my life. But
they
then
have
on my
that
face,
little refrigerator, right?
Yeah, you can just, like, reach put in. Underneath your armpits, it's great. a con of Equinox is that there are too many stairs to get into the gym.
Yeah. It's really disrespectful. It's like literally 10 flights.
Right. I'm like out of shape
of
for
stairs.
The gym.
It's super disrespectful.
And it's like I'm trying to get in shape and you're making me want to just fuck it all and not
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Another pro is like literally every guy there is attractive. You're like,
I don't like that. That's horrific to me.
Why?
Did I tell you one time that I like had a sexy trainer and it was like really upsetting?
Yeah.
I had a sexy trainer just to like jog everybody's memory and...
No braggies.
Yeah, no braggies. I mean, he was like one of the hottest dudes ever. And... when I laid down for the final stretching at the end...
That's so hot.
It was like I put my leg up and he just put, you know, his knee down on my leg that was down and then just started to push me back. And so I felt the heat between our genitals. And so I was very alarmed that I was
right.
suddenly aware of his genitals.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're both in sweats. So
right.
there wasn't as much of a barrier as I would have liked.
Right.
So I got the fuck out of there and then
yeah.
never went back. But what? So you're okay with a hot dude at the gym?
Yeah. Like, if I'm on the treadmill, uh-huh. usually I'm, like, watching, like, old episodes of, like, Sex and the City on E!
That rules.
And then... you know, if I want to take a break, I just look at like a hot piece just walking to like a you know, dumbbell rack. And I'm like, cool, good for you. That's nice.
Get after it, bro. That's tight. On my way here, I heard a black woman talking to 7 police officers on the street. I had like my Uber window rolled down. And she was like, yeah, that's when she pushed me on the floor and started punching me in the face. And they were like, okay, where? What do you mean? She's like, she started just punching me in the face and saying I was a bitch. And then she started kicking me in the face. And I kid you not, one of the 7 police officers was like, so it was just in the face then? I was like, yes. And I was like, cool. Boop. And then took my UberX here the rest of the way.
I want to know what happened.
Ah, dude, it was so juicy.
Why were there 7 cops there?
There did not need to be 7.
Oh, my
God. They needed to, like, go grab whoever, like, punched this lady
yeah.
in the face. But I just love that they clarified, like, so it was only the face. Not relevant.
I love other people's drama. Like, I have a
it's
very
so juicy.
Drama-free life.
Oh, shit. I took a flight. I stayed with my parents.
Yeah.
And I was flying to back here. I was flying back home last week, right? And I just got an apartment out in LA. I'm bi-coastal now. And I wanted
no braggies.
To take. And I wanted to take. I have sex toys. And I wanted to have like a sex toy on every port. So I have one here, one at my boyfriend's house, and I wanted one for my new apartment. And so I stopped by my parents' house because it's really close to LAX, took my vibrator out. And just started packing up my stuff. It's time for me to go to the airport. I always miss flights. And I get in my Uber and I go straight to the airport. And as we're getting off of LAX, I realize that I left my vibrator sitting out at my parents' house. That's literally what I did. I was Fran Drescher in The Nanny.
Mrs. Sheffield.
And so I was like, holy shit. Trying to calculate how much time I have. I have maybe an hour to boarding. So I tell the driver, I'm like, hey, oh man, I'm sorry. Do you think that we can turn around and go back to my house? I left something really important there. And little does you know, it's like my fucking vibrator from Babeland. And so then we're like rushing back. I'm like stuck in traffic on the way home. I run into the house. I grab this fucking vibrator that's like laying right on my mom's desk that she like pins things on Pinterest on. And it's just like, were you looking for me? And so I grab it. I run back to the Uber. I'm like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Finally get back to the airport.
Yeah.
And I have TSA pre-check. And I get there and they're like, yo, there's no pre-check today.
You know, they always do it when
it's
you
like,
need it
why?
The most.
I need it today.
Yeah.
I need it today.
Yeah.
The flight's boarding in like 10 minutes. And so luckily it's the first gate 20 feet away. Nice. And so I throw my stuff in, my fucking vibrator's in my backpack. I put it on the TSA, like, conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And it's going through. They stop on mine, look at it for a little bit, and then they're like, eh, and they continue. But then somebody grabs my bag, my purse, and they're like, excuse me, ma'am, do you have change in here? And I was like, yes, it's my fucking purse.
Yeah.
So they're like, sorry, we're going to have to run it through. And they page me. The gate pages me. I'm like, oh, okay. So they take my purse. They put it in the conveyor belt. It's right in the middle. And the fucking TSA machine freezes.
No.
And the guy's like, sorry, looks like luck's not on your side. And I'm like, fuck, it's all because I like to fucking rub it out everywhere I go. Curse my delicious and voracious sexuality. And so I'm like, excuse me, can you just grab it? They're waiting for me. And the guy's like, ugh, I guess. So while he does that, I run to my gate and I'm like, hey, I'm here. I had an issue. I left something at home. The TSA right now is being a little bit trash. No disrespect. I'm going to go back and grab my bags, but I promise I'll be right back. And the man is so zen. And he's like, okay, all right. Don't worry. You have 5 minutes. And I was like, great. So finally, the guy grabs it. It's in this long fucking line. He puts it on the other conveyor belt, and it goes through. And the woman grabs it, and she says, excuse me, I'm sorry, ma'am. Do you have change in here?
What?
And I was like, what? What do you mean? There's no liquids in here. Are you fucking kidding me? Let me just take my vibrator and get on my fucking flight. And so she's like, I'm sorry. We're going to have to run it through again. So then they ran it through again.
Oh, my God.
And then they were like, finally, the gate agent walks up and he's just waiting for me, like, fucking knowing in his eyes, like he knew I left my vibrator. He's like, and so then finally I like take my bag and I just like rush and I make it on the flight and they close all the doors behind me. But the plane took off like 10 minutes late because I forgot
That's
my like
the ending
vibrator.
Of Love Actually, but not.
It's like Love Actually, you're trash. But it's like, if I'd have missed my flight because of my vibrator, I would have like never masturbated again.
Also, like, if you didn't remember it and then your mom discovered it, and like, of course, Maria would not say anything. You just come home for Christmas for like dinner and it would just be very tense and you would have no idea why.
And then I finally get home one night and it's just sitting gently on my pillow.
Yeah. She's like... Like, you know what you did.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, well, I didn't tell your father, but you just know. Like a secret between us that will hold forever until she passes.
Yeah, you can't recover from a parent discovering your vibrator. Like,
no,
you can't.
That's horrific.
You can't go back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, oh my gosh, it's horrible. That's why, digital baby.
Yeah, that's smart. I might have to go back to manual.
I keep it AM radio, baby. AM radio.
AM. I'm trying to operate Sirius XMU. I'm trying to stream it on my Beats headphones that are Bluetooth. Oh. Damn. I'm never going to do that again, though.
Yeah. All right, should we get this show started?
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. You guys are so, so great tonight.
Our first act that we're bringing up, she has a web series called Brown Girls. It's cool as fuck. We need to support brown women doing dope shit. Please give it up for Sonya Denny!
Hey, you guys, give it up for Phoebe and Jessica. I'm so happy to be here. I used to live in D.C., and then at one point, yeah, someone from D.C., what part?
She's like, whoops, the suburbs, I'm rich.
Okay, girl, I get it. You don't want to self-identify because we'd have to fucking kill you. No, I'm kidding. 99%? All right. That was a detour. But I used to live in D.C. like almost 6 years ago, and then I moved to Chicago. I won't identify you. we're also gonna kill you. But no, I moved to Chicago, and I felt like when I was in D.C., I was like a social drinker. And then when I moved to Chicago, like I developed a drinking problem. And I know that was true because I became the type of person that wakes up to Facebook notifications that I was tagged in pictures I don't remember taking with people I don't remember meeting. You know, it's like, who is Lydia living my life like it's going up in this bitch Henderson? Who are you? Are you? And why is there an entire Facebook album, 50 pictures, just you and I tag titled Me and My New Bitch? Like, what is happening, you know? But in August, I moved to New York, which I love. And when I first moved to New York, I was having a conversation in Chicago with one of my friend's girlfriends, and she was like, oh, like, what part of New York are you moving to? Because, like, I'm from New York. And I was like, oh, Best Eye, Brooklyn. And she was like, I guess that makes you a gentrifier. And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, my grandmother was priced out by people like you. And I was like, girl, I can't be a gentrifier, I'm black. Yes, my boyfriend is white, but he's a dog walker. He's not even using his privilege, you understand? It's wasted on him. Because I feel like if we are gentrifiers, we're like level one or two, do you know what I mean? Like a scotch of gentrification. And Ms. Boosh for any Top Chef fans. Come on, DC, Rich. You got cable. Stop playing. My mom's never seen me stand up because I won't invite her. But let's not get hung up in details. But when I was home last year, she was like, let me see a video. I want to see a video of your stand-up. And, like, all the comedians you're going to see tonight are fantastic. Jessica and Phoebe are obviously amazing. But, like, no matter how funny you are, you're going to have a set where you bomb. But I don't think you can say you've truly bombed until you sat with the person who gave you life. And 2 minutes in, she's like, do you do this a lot? It's like, oh my God. It's like I finally understand the saying, a piece of me died. Because a piece of me is still my mom's couch trying to explain to her how brilliant my Hotel Rwanda Schindler's List pit is. She's not on board. Some of you didn't laugh at that. You're like, I work at a nonprofit. That's not very funny. I'm a good person. No, but I am, my mom is Rwandan, as I mentioned, and like, I'm high for Rwandan, my dad's Haitian. But like, when my mom moved here in her 20s, so that means like, in her lifetime, she's been through a lot. Like, there was a genocide in 94, there was one before that. She moved here when she was pregnant, and like, just all these racism and xenophobia, all these things that she's experienced, but she's so strong. If you met my mom, you'd never know she'd been through that. But then she raised me in the West, and weekly I'll call her, and I'm like, Mom, I woke up sad this morning and I don't know why. She's super supportive because she's like such a good mom and a great Catholic. She's always like, oh no, have you prayed? And I'm always like, I'm agnostic, so maybe, you know. She fucking hates that joke so much. But God loves it. Does he? Does he exist? I don't know. But no, I did go see a psychiatrist recently, and for people like who are happy, when you go to see one of these people, like, they ask you a series of questions. Like, one of the first questions they asked me, he was like, are you in a relationship? And I was like, yeah. He was like, boyfriend? I was like, yeah. He was like, do you love him? And I was like, I don't know. What did he say? I don't say it first. He didn't laugh. He was like, I think that's inappropriate. And I was like, but doctor, the world is a stage, you know? Another question he asked me was like, do you do drugs? And I was like, yeah. If you're a cop, you have to tell me. Inappropriate, for sure, for sure, for sure. And then another question he asked me, he was like, have you ever had suicidal thoughts? And I was like, uh-huh. And he was like, why do you think you haven't acted on those thoughts? And I was like, obviously, it would be hard on my family, my friends, my boyfriend, like, having to pay New York rent by himself in this economy, you know? And some love or some shit like that. And also, I follow that up with, like, no matter how sad I get, I still feel like suicide is something that's hard to go through with. And this man looks at me, then looks at his notepad, and he goes, not if you're determined. I'm not making that up. That is 1,000% what he said to me. And now I want to kill myself so fucking bad. Just so I can write a suicide note, like, thanks, Dr. Keating. You taught me to believe in myself. It's because I'm going to hang my... You get it. You're on board. Okay. I'm going to dedicate it to you now. I'm kidding. All right. So last year, one of my friends was like, dude, listen, you should go to my therapist, okay? Because he is amazing. He's insightful. He's affordable. He's smart. He's affordable. He's so deep. He's affordable. And I was like, okay. And I went and I saw him and I was like, this will not do. He had on skinny jeans, a denim vest on top of a denim shirt, a beard and a buns. Like, nah. Like, I'm into that, but like not in my healthcare professionals. Like, I can't. Like, are we gonna go to Coachella together? Like, what the fuck? Like, I can't. I feel like I can't tell you my suicide plan if you know who Childish Gambino is. Like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that. You know? Get the fuck out of here. Thank you guys so much. Bye.
Give it up for Sonya Dennis.
On this week's On the Media, one former NPR editor's grievances are reverberating far beyond a Substack essay. He claims wokeness is ruining the place.
That marginalized people are storming the barricades and dictating that this story happens and this story gets killed and we're going to use this language and not use that language. That's not what I saw.
On this week's On the Media from WNYC. Find On the Media wherever you get your podcasts.
About our next guest, he's a friend of ours.
I love him.
He's so brilliant and wonderful and sweet, and he's like all over TV. He wrote an essay in my book. He was a former co-worker of Jessica. You know him from The Daily Show. Please give it up for John Hodgman.
Hello.
Hi, what's Hi. Up?
What a pleasure it is to be here with you guys.
I know. I haven't seen you in months. We've only been corresponding via email.
That's
because
true.
You have a vacation home in Maine.
Oh, it's true.
Somebody likes Maine.
So you stay there for months at a time.
It's
what
true.
Is it like to have a vacation home? That's my dream.
I am an elderly Caucasian man.
Tight can confirm.
Yes. Yeah. It was never my intention to have a vacation home in Maine. But
it just happens.
My wife has family in Maine, and she loves Maine, the state, more than any other place or human on earth. And an opportunity came up to buy a home there. And I said, sure, because it would make her very happy, and she's extremely happy. But now we go to Maine, and I immediately feel, oh, I'm dying. Like, this is the end for me.
What do you do there? Do you, like, whittle?
Do you take out your banjo and rock back and forth on the front porch?
Do you make boats to put inside, like, glasses? Like, what do?
Do you blast sand?
No. Yeah.
Because I'm looking to get a vacation home. And so I'm wondering if we went to actually where you were, let's say we got a place that we could go to.
Will we be the only black people there?
Yes.
Great. How you know I was teeing that up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was a very strange... I spent the summer in Maine, and of course, a lot of stuff happened this summer. The shootings out in Sterling and Castile, and then the backlash to that. It was a horrible place to... I was living in a place where all of that news could mean nothing. Like, all I had to do was turn it off and just go back to whatever was happening, because it is such a profoundly Caucasian and homogenous place.
Wow.
I really felt bad because, you know, I have friends who are not white men, and I would love to have them come up to Maine, but occasionally I think, like, well, it would be weird. You might not be comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, when I see a person of color... I remember in Bar Harbor, Maine, I saw, like, a 55-year-old black couple, clearly affluent, and they were sitting at the ice cream shop just enjoying some ice cream and just like watching the white people walk around. I'm like,
dude, that's us.
That is us. That's so us.
You guys, I tip my straw boater to you.
That's cool. Wait, what kind of vacation house do
you
want?
Yeah, what do you want? Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
I want something woodsy, kind of. I want to like get a tiny house.
Sure.
And I want to have it for a little bit. I want to get like a nice property and then just put a tiny house on it.
Yeah.
Because I want a barn, too.
You're not a woodsy person. This isn't you.
It's going to be like luxury woodsy. Like, I don't want bugs or anything, so I'm going to try and
Lux
put some
woods.
Bug bombs out there, like tiki torches and like just a bunch, like 6 acres of tiki torches.
That's ignorant. I'm sorry.
Look, I'm standing in my truth. My ancestors fought for me to do some bullshit like that. So. I don't know. I want something where I can feel like there's a community and it feels sort of like the town in Jaws where it's like, hey, how you doing? Yeah. Without like all the shark murder.
Funny thing about the town in Jaws. They'd rather have people killed than acknowledge a shark.
They did a really bad job. Yeah. They did such a bad job of managing that situation.
That's
I
right.
feel like.
Yeah.
I want that without any of the shark stuff.
Yeah. I think I want a vacation home, too.
Where do you want it? Where?
Well, I was doing... I went to a rabbit hole on Wikipedia, so I started, like, looking at Charlie Rose's biography.
Sick. Sick.
I don't know how I got there, but I felt like home when I was there, and...
You were like, me.
Yeah. But he has a home in Paris, so I would like to just be his neighbor.
Yeah!
That's tight.
I want to be Charlie Rose's neighbor, and, like, we would just, like... And we would hang out.
Sure.
What are you... What? I'm just...
You don't think
what
I
are
can...
you guys gonna do together?
My
I mean, like in your head, like what?
Okay, well, I watch his show a lot. He loves funny people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm charming and funny. So he'd be like, "Oh my god, we should be friends." And I'm like, "I know." And so then we get croissant, and then we would like.
You will literally get kicked out of Paris via customs if you say that. Okay, so you get croissants.
Okay, and then we'll like. Just like traipse around like in like Paris, like how Carrie did in season 6, minus her sour puss face. She was like,
"And that
Paris.
Dude."
Yeah, well, I liked him.
I did.
I liked the
I
Russian.
I wasn't here for
no.
it. Have you ever seen Sex and the City, John?
Yeah. Do you watch Sex and the City, John?
I saw the TV shows. I did not see the movie.
Oh, yeah. You've seen all seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are
oh,
you... Are
remember?
You, oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
okay,
dope.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Roll
okay.
up your sleeves.
Okay, are you...
I'm 45 years old. Come on.
Are you team Aiden or are you team Big?
Oh.
Aiden.
I met Aiden once.
Oh, my God.
That's high. Is he tall?
Oh, my God.
Is he tall?
He's average height.
No! No!
You hate to see that happen. You hate when they turn out to be 5'9".
Wait,
but you're
so,
great.
No. He's got to be.
I met him.
He's got to be 5'10" at least, or is it just because SJP is so tiny that he looked massive in comparison?
Yeah,
Damn it.
He's okay. My height. I'm 5'10".
No, there is what?
He's not.
Okay. But you need to answer a question. Are you team Aiden or team Big?
Oh, in the series?
In the series, yes. No presh.
Don't do it. And you got to tell us why.
Yeah. If you come with some team Steve bullshit, I'm going to cut you. I'm going to fuck you up. I don't want to hear that.
No, Steve is just always trying his hardest. Don't.
I guess I just felt that Carrie and Big had more of a connection.
Okay.
Now, I don't know
what?
How it turned out in the movie.
What do you mean?
Are you kidding me?
What do you mean?
Are you kidding me?
What do you mean?
He would not introduce her to his mother.
Uh-huh.
He left her at the altar like a million
right.
times.
Yeah. He was going to go to France with no fucking plan for their relationship.
Sure. But...
He gave her that ugly bird purse. Rebuttal, sir?
Yeah, please.
I liked her a lot, but she was kind of a human monster.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
she was trash. She was trash.
She didn't deserve Aiden.
To me, mm-hmm. Aiden was her flirtation with the idea of, what if I were a real human being?
Okay.
And it was clear that it was never, ever going to right. happen.
It wasn't.
So I'm not saying that Big is a good dude. Obviously, okay. he isn't.
Right.
I just felt that they were more, that they would end up together. And I don't, spoiler alert, please don't tell me what happened. And those two dumb movies that I didn't see.
Those movies are so bad.
Horrific.
They're so
horrific.
Do you include them in the Sex and the City canon or no?
Kind of. Because there's a scene.
Are they
the
like the Star Wars prequels for you?
Yeah.
Like, just ignore
kinda,
them?
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. But it's like, there's like one funny scene and it's like literally 4 minutes of the first Sex and the City movie where Charlotte literally just has to take a shit. And that's...
Yeah.
A good 4 minutes, and I was like, "This is canon."
Yeah.
So I decided.
But okay, I'm fine with your answer. That was the best answer I've heard.
You gave us some shit to chew
Look,
over.
All I can do is give you my honest answers based on my own watching of the thing.
Did you watch it on your own volition, or did your wife get you into it?
No, my wife got me into it, but it was great.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a great show.
It holds up.
It announced that New York was a very different place. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, you know, like, coming to New York in the 80s and then moving here in the early 90s and seeing New York at that time and then seeing it transformed by wealth over the course of the 90s, Sex and the City really was like, yep, this is the way it is now. Like, this is a springtime for Hitler of the wealthy, basically.
Yeah, because that's
which is like people having a great time going to fancy bars and drinking fancy drinks.
Yeah,
and,
when I was a kid, I would catch episodes, I'd be like, oh, that's what womanhood looks like. Oh, that's what it means to be an adult. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to New York 5 years ago, and I was like, oh, no. Yeah. They were crazy.
You moved to New York 5 years ago?
I did, for The Daily Show.
But how's that possible? I've known you forever.
Aww, you guys.
Dude, shut up. Thank you.
And I've known you forever as well.
Nah, it's too late.
All right. I've known you.
That's like the mistress that you get, like the Valentine's Day gift on February 15th.
That's right.
Like, I get it. I know where I stand.
I got you a black diamond.
Why you give me a white diamond? Now I want a black diamond.
I think our time is almost up, John.
Doesn't get better than that. I'm going to leave right now.
Where you really?
No.
Okay. Oh.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna watch the rest of the show.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think it's been made very clear to me that this segment is over.
Oh.
John,
okay.
You're the best.
We love you.
Yeah, we love you so much.
Keep it going for John Hodgman, everybody.
John Hodgman, everybody. He's the best.
This message comes from Two Dope Queens sponsor, BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at BetterHelp.com/DopeQueens today to get 10% off your first month.
This week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, Jerry Seinfeld on making a life in comedy.
This is a writer's game. If you can write, you succeed. If you can't, you will not make it. Any comedian can be funny on stage, but the bullets are the writing.
Jerry Seinfeld on his film Unfrosted and more. That's the New Yorker Radio Hour from WNYC Studios. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, y'all ready for our last comic of the night?
All right, let me do it again. I fucked it up. I have one job.
All right, y'all ready for our last comic of the evening?
Do you want to introduce or no?
Yeah, let's do it together.
Okay.
He is...
Okay, well, I'll start.
He is so funny.
Mm-hmm. He's hysterical.
Yeah.
You know him from Bob's Burgers.
Please give it up for John Roberts!
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Hello. How's it going? I'm John Roberts. I guess I should tell you a little about myself. I'm half Irish, I'm half Italian, and that makes me gay. I play Linda on Bob's Burgers. Thank you. Thank you. I was so, when I got the job as Linda, I was so excited because I was like, I'm finally going to really get laid now. You know what I mean? And that didn't happen. But no, it's because I feel like people like they think I'm going to turn into Linda. You know what I mean? Like when we're doing it, like I'll be, you know, like we'll be doing it. And I'll be like, come on, fuck Linda. Come on. Don't you want to fuck Linda? Like, after we come, I'll be like, all right. Fuck Linda, fuck her. What? So come back and fuck Linda. No, they come back. They come back. Trying to get that residual money now. Yeah. It's too late. Design Within Reach has it all. I just moved back from the... I was in the, on the West Coast for a while, and I just moved back to my roots, back on the East Coast! Woo! No, it's great. I bought this really old house, and I think it's haunted. It's really old, and I think it's haunted, and I try to impress the ghost, you know, by, like, just keeping it really clean and, like, respecting it. Like, he's like, oh, he's really keeping it clean, isn't he? He's British. The ghost is British. Oh, look, he's polishing the floors just like I used to do. Oh, John's masturbating again. Oh. So stupid. When I first moved in, I learned how to ride a motorcycle and stuff, and I got like a muscle car in L.A. I was really douching out there for a while. And I shipped it all back. So, like, I thought, like, all the neighbors were going to think I was straight. You know what I mean? Like really butch. You know what I mean? Like all the girls would be like, oh, my God. Like, who's that guy? Like, who's that guy? I moved next door. Like, but, like, I blew it because one day I thought I have, like, these two, the gayest dogs in the world. Like, always putting them on Instagram and stuff. But they're really gay. And I thought one ran away. And I was just, like, cleaning the house in, like, flip-flops and bikini briefs or something. And I panicked, and I just ran outside. I was like, Iggy! 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 I got, like, really gay. Like, it was like, oh, like, I guess he's gay. Like, the neighbor is like, ah. Oh. Just, like, outed myself. No, because sometimes I try to imagine, like, I could pass for straight, right, guys? A little bit? All right, everyone, like, put your head down. And, like, put it back up for a second. She's like, nah, he's gay. He's totally gay. Like, I know. I just like gaydar. He's really gay. I want to have like a really like when I meet someone, like have like a big gay wedding, like really gay, like so gay that you could see it from space probably, which would be nice. It makes sense because like gay people, we don't really have angels, you know, like, no, it's true. Like, the closest thing we have to angels are, like, lesbian astronauts. Just, like, flying, like, just, like, looking over us. You know what I mean? So it would be, like, really gay. It would be, like, two unicorns as soon as you walk in. They would be, like, bending over with, like, a rainbow shooting out of their butts and stuff. And, like, we would walk in and, like, Rosie O'Donnell would be there. Like, just, like, you know, and Susie Orman, like, giving out, like, oyster shots and stuff. Like, a whole, like, you know... And, like, all the tables that have, like, all, like, condoms and lube and stuff. And, like, Harvey Fierstein would do, like, the thing. Like, do you take John to be a little... It'd be beautiful. It'd be beautiful. You know, I don't want to be, like, one of those gay people that's, like, always insulting, like, lady parts, you know? you do that like around your like your straight guy friends, they get really mad. Like, hey man, that's not cool. Like, I gotta eat that, you know? What? I don't know. I have this guy, we're hanging out in our families. This, you know, it's the holidays. We got to hang around our families. I got to go hang out with all my relatives from Staten Island. You know, I got this one cousin, Joey. He's like, oh, he's like, John, like, how's the comedy going? He's like, maybe I could do a little comedy, right? I want to do some comedy. Like, well, how do you do it? Like, what's it like? How do you do comedy? So this would be like, this would be my cousin Joey doing stand-up comedy. Hey, how you doing, everybody? I'm Joey. How you doing? You ever feel like a dick and you don't know why, right? All of a sudden you feel like a dick and you're like, why do I feel like a dick all of a sudden? The dick feeling. Come on, say it with me. The dick feeling. Right? Like when you like when you're trying on sunglasses for the first time, like, why do I feel like a dick all of a sudden, right? The dick feeling, right? Or like when you get stuck on like a roller coaster, you know, you feel like a dick, right? Or like at the end of like a really good movie, like after it's over when you're like walking up the aisle, like what I feel like a dick, you know, I feel like a dick. The dick feeling. Right? I was thinking, you know, it would be fun, you know, because they got all these, like, cameras now. It's like 1984, you know, they got cameras everywhere. And, like, if you drive through a light, all of a sudden you get, like, a picture in the mail. You know, you're like, oh, we got you, you know? But wouldn't it be fun if they did, like, funny stuff, like, that happened to you and you got a picture in the mail, you know? Like, if you got into a fight, right, you got, like, punched in the back of your head, like, boom, you know? Like, you get a picture like that, you know? Right? Like you're taking a poop, like, oh, like they get a camera in your bathroom somehow, you know? Like, oh, I just did that, you know? Oh, you know, there's lots of depressing news nowadays. You know, I was reading about Linda Carter from Wonder Woman that played Wonder Woman has irritable bowel syndrome. No. That's right. You know, back in the day, you know, she would spin around and around and she would transform into Wonder Woman, right? It's beautiful. If she did that now, we'd all be covered in shit. Yeah. All right. How do you know you're at a gay picnic or a gay barbecue? All the hot dogs taste like shit. Good night, everyone. I'm Joey. That's Joey. He's funnier than me, actually. You guys don't really like me. You just want to see Linda, don't you? Yeah, I wrote a song about it, and it goes like this. Everybody loves Linda. Nobody loves John. The only time they ever listen is when Linda is on. People turn to Linda when they need a laugh, though. In real life, I'm just a balding homo. Give me a chance. Give John a chance. Give me a chance to shine. I'm flying. Or was it all in my mind? Thank you, everyone. Good night. I'm John Roberts. Thank you. Thank you so much, Two Dope Queens.
Woo-hoo! Give it up for John Roberts, everybody!
You just heard John Roberts, John Hodgman, and Sonia Denis. Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Solotaroff, Jim Poyant, Paula Schumann, and Rachel Neal. Our team includes Joe Plord, Matt Boynton, Ed Haber, George Wellington, Isaac Jones, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Brosky. Hey, hunty!
And be like Mark Zuckerberg. Like us on Facebook, okay? Did you know that you can get our podcast on iTunes, Google Music Play, and now we're on Spotify? Don't forget to subscribe and comment and follow and like and all that goodness.
And look, I know I'm going to sound like your nagging mom. Do the dishes, make your bed, get a clean wipe. Why are all these socks crunchy?
Ew. Sometimes socks get crunchy just because they're old. Like, that is so ignorant. That's like why you don't have kids yet, is because that's your first thought of like what a mom does. It's like just handling jizz in the teen years.
The point is, be sure to subscribe to our show. It really makes a diff.
That's all for now, y'all.
Wacky why. So there's like a lot happening. There's like love triangles, and Screech is like super into Lisa Turtle.
That sounds really cool.
Zach and Kelly.
Well, have you seen From Justin to Kelly with Love, the American Idol movie where they go on a resort?
Hello? Yeah, I want to dial into a conference call with Mark Paul Gosselaar and Tiffany Thiessen.
You want to dial into it? Who are you talking to where you need to dial into that?
I'm talking to my assistant, because how dare you compare fucking Justin and Kelly to Zach Morris and Kelly Kapowski? How dare you make that comparison?
Sounds good, to be honest. It sounds pretty tight.
Hey, guys. Guess what? I am going to be a part of RuPaul's Drag Con, babies. That's right. If you're in the LA area, I will be there April 29th and 30th. Please go to RuPaulsDragCon.com for info, to look at a cute picture of me, and also to buy tickets. I'll be doing a panel, taking pictures, and signing my book that you already bought. And if you already bought it, just buy it again, because mama needs some new pants.